हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमाविर्विश्वावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 56. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur describes that this impersonal feature or Brahman manifestation of the Supreme Lord is meant for persons who are essentially very advanced but still not able to understand the personal features or variegatedness of the spiritual world. Such devotees are known as Jnana Misra Bhaktas, or devotees whose devotional service is mixed with empiric knowledge. Because the impersonal Brahman realization is a partial understanding of the absolute truth, Dhruva Maharaj offers his respectful obeisances. It is said that this impersonal Brahman is the distant realization of the absolute truth. Although apparently Brahman seems to be devoid of energy, factually it has different energies, working under the headings of knowledge and ignorance. On account of these different energies, there is continually a manifestation of vidya and avidya. Vidya and avidya are nicely described in the Ishopanishad. It is said that sometimes due to avidya, or poor fund of knowledge, one accepts the absolute truth as ultimately impersonal. But in fact, the impersonal and personal feature realizations develop in proportion to the development of devotional service. The more we develop our devotional service, the more closely we approach the absolute truth, which, in the beginning, when we realize the absolute truth from a distant place, is manifest as impersonal. Right, so you have this approaching the Lord, the impersonal is because we'll take just the greatness of God, you know, the position of God, the unchangingness, you know, these kind of aspects of God. So we're appreciating that. So that's why it's saying about this aspect of, about in devotional service, it's mixed because that's all the farther we understand. Just like karma misra means that we're engaging activities, but we're still seeing them in relationship with ourselves instead of Krishna. Right, certain aspects, generally the direct aspects we'll see connected to Krishna. We might, you know, maintain some distraction about ourselves, but other things that have to do with opulence and that we tend to see connected to ourselves. As we advance, that gets less and less. So in the same way is that on the aspect of understanding Krishna, then we'll see about his greatness, that how he's, you know, all-pervading, all these different aspects. And then gradually we start to see, you know, the personal aspects of Krishna. Right? It means we're accepting that he's a person and all that, but it still means our realization of that will start here and then progress. Does that make sense? And that, so the farther it goes, that's the symptoms of more advancement. So that's why we say the knowledge isn't the actual key point. Because if you know Krishna, you know everything. Just like, let's say, okay, let us say we have a chef. I always go to this one, right? And we have a metallurgist. Okay? Okay. Now, we have a pot. Okay? Now, how many things can the metallurgist say about that pot?
Many.
Yes, yeah, so much he can talk about. The particular combination of what does what and what's conducting heat and do this and that. But does he know how to cook? That's the whole point. So does he actually know the pot? That's the modern, you know, or the materialistic concept. Is I know so much knowledge and I can get so many results from this knowledge, but can you see it in connection to Krishna? So if you actually know what it's for, you actually know what's happening. Mm-hmm. Not the person who knows all kinds of technicalities.
Yes.
You understand? So it's just been accepted that, and that's this other aspect, it's just been accepted that the knowledge is the most important, because that the knowledge of skills gets results, and we're thinking the results are the most important. But it's not. It's actually the attraction and attachment aspects that generates the interaction. You understand? We're thinking that I have knowledge and skill, I can produce a result. But that's not the result we're looking for. It's based on our particular attraction to that result. Therefore, then what experience will be gained from that, that's what we're looking for. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we can say that there's a combination of Sankarsan and Pradyumna that we do, and the attraction is Anuruddha.
But no, attraction is Pradyumna. Anuruddha is need.
The goal.
Yes, the goal is that.
Yeah.
But the point is we're not actually understanding what is the goal. It's just like, okay, let us say, the kid decides, yeah, I want to be a doctor. You know, I want to be a neurobrain surgeon, and I'm going to have a house, down at wherever it is, Malibu, and I'm going to have this car, and I'm going to have a yacht, and so now he works, he puts in his effort, and he gets all those things. And so just having those things is the actual purpose? What if he has those things and he's not happy? You understand? So that's the whole thing, is that say what we will about the things themselves or what we're looking for, it's not what we're looking for. Because the basis of the material creation is attraction, not the things. Right? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So, now, how do we get things? Let us go back to Maitreya's discussion with Vidura. How do you get stuff? Right? Means the Lord has glanced, the 24 elements have all separated, and now you have avyaya. Right? And so now can you do anything with this avyaya? No. Nothing. Why not? Because there's no attraction. One atom will not connect with another. So until attraction is added, means when the Lord enters it as Prajumna, right? Then you get them going together and you get universes. You know? Does that make sense? Yes.
So finally we know whom to blame because we're attracted to mind.
No, you're attracted to Krishna, but because you think it's those atoms, that's where the Maya comes in.
Well, attraction still comes from Prajumna.
Yes, but the point is what are you supposed to do with this? It's just like, let's say, the father gives an allowance to the son, and then the son goes and spends it on something stupid, and now he blames the father for giving him the money. So if he hadn't given him the money, then that wouldn't have happened. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
That's the logic we're using.
Sounds logical, though.
Yeah, of course. That's why we're here. When it stops sounding logical, that's when we're qualified to go there. Yeah.
Maharaj, when Pradyumna is cause of attraction between the atoms, so then can you say that he's the bala aspect of the Shada Aishwarya?
He's the
six plus Kalyan Gunas. Bala aspect of the Kalyan Gunas.
Bala, no. He's the Virya and Aishwarya. Sankarshan is Bala and Jnana.
Because
we have attraction and attachment. You have the facts of what's there, but you have attraction and attachment. So attachment's going to be Aniruddha, and attraction is going to be Pradyumna.
And what would be Aniruddha?
Shakti and
Tejas.
Well.
Tejas. Yes.
Yes.
Each has two, and so Vasudeva, then he manifests all six. In other words, to apply, you have to have all six, and so that means in result, then you'll have all six. So you actually get the result in the experience. But the point is that to apply, you need all these. So that means the application of the Abhideya is dependent upon the other ones being there. It's not dependent, but I'm saying it requires. That's why someone's saying that they can do something, but if they don't have knowledge of what they're doing, you know, what's the proper attitude in doing that, what's the result you can gain from that, then you actually can't do something.
So that's the wrong basis of Hollywood movies, because they don't know how to do it, but they just want to do it.
Yes, but you're leaving out as a very essential point here is that by the Hollywood concept that just by being American you already contain all these six qualities. And the only thing you require to, manifest them is just getting upset about something. That's all it takes. And so that's the beauty of the American. It means every other country or region in the world knows that you actually have to, you know, learn it from somebody, you know, practice it, become good at it and that. But not Americans, it's just inherent. It's just because they want. Right? And even if they do have to learn it, they learn it in about, a 1.5 minute montage, you know, and then it's done. That's just the way it works. Well, everybody else, you know, they have to spend, you know, a whole lifetime and maybe it'll get good. But these, no. It's just, you know, or it's just inherent. They didn't even know it was there. And, you know, and then suddenly it is. Everybody else is, wow, you know, like that. Yeah, so that's... Yes.
Attraction and attachment are symptoms of life.
Attraction and attachment—they are symptoms, but also existence. Means there's six. There's four things that you can tell that there is, that there's an entity. Let's see if I can find it. That Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that. Okay, qualities of a substance. Something's a substance because it has existence, asitva. Oh no, astitva. Distinctness, vishesha. Action, kriya, and use, prayojana. It has these four. Existence, distinctness, action, and use. Right? So we see, what is that? Existence, that's Sankarshan. Distinctness, that's Prajumna. Action is Vasudev. And use is Aniruddha. So all these things are all there. So the point is it exists, but then it being specific means it has to have a unique distinctness that something else doesn't have.
Yes.
Right? 'Cause otherwise, if this rock and this desk are the same, you know, why do we keep putting the book on the rock? I mean, book on the yes. desk and the rock on the book. Why don't we put the book on the rock and the desk on the book? Right? But because there's a distinctness, therefore, then we don't. Mm-hmm. Right? And then there's a use of it, what it's supposed to do. That's why it goes there. That's why the table is used in this way and the rock's used in that way. Mm-hmm. And then there's the action that you do to apply that. Mm-hmm. Like that. So that's what makes everything has that. So everything has that. If it exists, it has all these four. That's the problem with saying that something doesn't exist, or because the non-existence that they're taking as a substance. So for the Nirvishesh, then they're taking the Nirvishesh, yeah. That the nothingness is a substance.
Yes.
So that means it has to have an existence. There has to be the existence of nothingness.
Yes.
There has to be the distinctness that you can tell nothingness from somethingness.
Yes.
Like that. Then there has to be a use to this nothingness, and then there has to be a way that nothingness is applied. You know, because even though, say, blowing out the candle, there's a process. So all these four are there, but they're saying it's only just one. So that's the problem. These four are all there, but people will just say, no, there's only one. or there's not.
Yes.
Right. And so that's the difficulty, is that it can't function. Their philosophies, that's what's wrong with them. So there's a mistake in one of these four, or in many of them, or any combination. Yeah. So that's what you're defining in the philosophy. So it's existence. What is his existence? Right? Mm-hmm. So then we're taking the jivas there, Brahman is there, and Pradhan is there. But now they're taking the existence of Brahman, its visesha, and its use, and its action, is it creates the world. It's wrong. Like that. So then that's you can see there that this is where the problem comes up, is that they don't actually understand how to define a substance. That's why we say sambandhigyan. Define what is the Lord, what is the jiva, what is the material world, what's their relationship, then what's the interaction, what's the result. So we're defining that. Does that make sense?
Maharaj?
Yeah.
This book quotes Astitva. Which book references Astitva? This book of right now.
Yeah. That's.
What this describes? The existence of an object?
No, just the qualities of a substance. Chaitanya Shikshamrita, Chapter 5, Part 3.
But Maharaj, can we say that even if this knowledge that this school are saying is wrong, can we also say that it is correct, but it is incomplete?
There's that aspect. It means it just depends upon what you're looking at. Is that if you're looking at overall, that anything that you're dealing with will have to have some aspect of correctness, but it's not complete. Because if it's not complete, you can't use it.
Yes.
You know, so it's not like if you say, oh wow, I got to get to Calcutta, you know, I'm going to have to hire a car. Well, you can take my car. It says, oh really? And then I hand you one of those bolts, one bolt that holds on the wheel, you know, and I hand that to you. So is that a real lug nut? It is a real lug nut, but we can't get to Calcutta on a lug nut. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's the problem. Is that there's anything that they're working with, it's all coming from the Supreme. So they're working with proper parts. But their conclusion of what is complete and what's useful and what can do things and what can't and what should be done and not, this is wrong.
Yeah.
Like that. So in the incompleteness, it doesn't mean there's not wrong. And because it's wrong doesn't mean that there's not incompleteness.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so what's incomplete means that the parts that are the elements that are real, then those are taken. Even if it's, you know, this part is illusion, like how they're going to apply it is illusion, but still that illusion, that there is illusion, is real. And why is that there? Because now we're saying is that these two main manifestations is vidya and avidya that are coming from Brahman.
Mm-hmm.
So avidya means you don't see the relationship with the Lord. Vidya means you do see the relationship with the Lord. Right? Like that. Because it doesn't mean that I know a fact or don't know a fact. Right? Because the point is if you know facts but you don't know the relation with the Lord, that's avidya. And you know the relationship with the Lord, though you may not know so many facts, that's vidya.
And Maharaj, when we know something about the Lord, but not enough, it is like impersonal, is between?
No, it's just developing. It's just a matter of does one have faith in the personal feature of the Lord? You know, because we're talking about devotees. If you do, then you're a devotee. Now, our realization of the Lord may only be beginning with the impersonal. You understand? But it doesn't mean that our faith is in the impersonal. That's why when we say exclusive monism, that's a problem. Because they have faith in the Brahman, and they don't have faith in the form of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then their knowledge is incomplete.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, so it's...
Who would say the first band in this discussion? Yojana should be right. And then Sambandha can follow?
No, because here Prayojana means, Sambandha means the knowledge of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. That is Sambandha Gyana. Abhideya is the actual application. Just like, let's say, okay, I want to cook a special meal, right, for a particular occasion. So now I have the knowledge of what it is I want to cook, who's there, who's, you know, going to be for, what is the occasion, what's the, you know, time of the day, you know, how many people are going to be there. I know what ingredients are required. I know how to get those ingredients, you know, where to get those ingredients. I know the recipes, how they're going to be combined. I know what result I want to get as far as the particular meal it goes, how it'll be served, the whole arrangements. I know all that. Now I can start. Does that make sense? So when I walk out the door to go to the market, now that's Abhideya. Before that, all of that planning, the understanding, all that is Sambandha. Even though it's in the area of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana, but it's still called Sambandha Gyan. You understand? This is where the confusion comes, because we think if it's anything to do with the goal, then it's getting the goal. That's Prayojana. Knowing what the goal is, that's the Prayojana aspect of Sambandha Gyan. Mm-hmm. So Sambandha Gyan means you know all four. And you have the qualifications to apply it. So then you apply it, and then you get the result. So basically you end up with four aspects that are theoretical and two that are practical. Mm-hmm. So you actually have six, but it's still within these four categories, which are within three categories. You know, so that's the things, because there's overlap, that's where the confusion comes. Does that make sense? You know, so that was what before, that Mataji's bringing up the point of, because there's attraction, and then Balaram's notice, because he was attracted, you know, from one womb to the other, and that asset he's going to hold together, the dynasty and all that, and create all this, he's known as Sankarshan, because of the attraction. So then she's taking it that, therefore the word attraction then being used here. But the point is how does Sankarshan accomplish this attraction? Through Prajumna. Right? Because Prajumna expands from him. And then further expansion, Aniruddha, it's only because there's attraction, then you get the result, the attachment. You know what I'm saying? Because Vasudeva's doing it, but he's doing it with all those others, so all these things are there. So that's why they're always together. Krishna and Balaram are always together.
So then can we say that when these three aspects of Sankarshana, Pradyumna and Aniruddha are going on, Vasudeva is simultaneously present, you know, like...
They're all four are always simultaneously present, and each of the four has all the four qualities. But the point is, you have four people doing the same thing, what's the point? You know? Can you imagine? You have one potato there, and four guys, you know, cutting it. Right? Good? No. Okay. Therefore, one's washing it, one's peeling it, one's cutting it, and one's you know, doing something else with it. Hmm? Eating it, okay. You're not going to cook it? Okay, let's say an avocado, okay? Then you can do it just straight to eating, yeah. So, you understand? So then they're going like that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's why they take, it's one person, he's just taking these four different moods to create that fullness in the interaction with his devotees.
Maharaj, then when we speak of this particular Vasudeva in the Chaturvyuha.
This particular one.
Yeah. Why? Because there is another Vasudeva. So like we defined as Para Vasudeva. So how do we say as Para
Vasudeva? How do you know it's not the same Vasudeva?
It is the same. But I would like to know that Para Vasudeva is known as Para Vasudeva only or something else by the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So that is my question.
He's known as Vasudeva.
Just Vasudeva.
He's also known as Mahanarayan.
Okay.
like that. So it's all the same.
Okay.
Like that. So the point is this: he's the aspect of, means he's Vasudev, because from here all the other aspects come. But that's from when you're looking at the Vaikuntha aspect.
Yes, Maharaj.
Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. But if you're looking at the Braj aspect, then he's the Lord of the Jnana Shakti.
Yes.
Right? Balaram's the Lord of Kriya and Krishna's the Lord of Icha. But if you're talking about within the Vaikuntha, then he's the Icha that then is, so that's the whole point. The Sankarshan then is manifesting and then like that. So you get all these things.
Yeah. So which?
So it's just a matter of what's going on. You know that that's what feature is being applied.
Yeah. So the definition changes from one sampradaya to the other.
No.
Somewhat.
It's just a matter of what they want to emphasize.
Yeah. What do you want to emphasize?
But it's not that it changes. It's just that the point is you have one person. Okay. We have this gentleman. And you see him in the kitchen cooking. So now he's a cook. Then after you see him sitting in the living room, you know, interacting with family members. Now he's not the cook. Now he's a family member. Right? Then you see him out in the backyard, you know, mowing the lawn or something. So now he's a gardener.
Yeah.
Right? And then Monday morning comes and he gets in his car and he, you know, he's driving down to the place. So now he's a driver. And then when he gets there, then he puts on his robes and his wig and then he sits behind a big, huge, monstrous bench with a hammer.
Got it, Mara.
Okay? So he's called by all these things when he's doing that. Krishna can do that simultaneously. So the man can do all of those things, but, you know, you know, when you're doing that one, then you're identified by that. Mm-hmm. We can only do one thing at a time. Krishna can do all of those at once. So he can sit home and talk with, you know, laugh and joke with the family and eat snacks, you know, forever, eternally. Right? You know how you say it? The eternal, whatever. So, you know, he can do that. He can also eternally be cooking. He can also eternally be doing his gardening. He can do this and that. So, and when you do that, now let's say if you're going to be gardening, is there not a particular set of clothes you would wear as opposed to, let's say, sitting in the house? Right, in the house, you want to wear nice baggy clothes and all that just hanging around. When you're out, you know, working with your lawnmower and machinery, you do not want baggy clothes. Right? Does that make sense? So therefore, the dress is different. Who do you talk to when you're out in the backyard doing the gardening?
The dog
or the neighbor who's also doing that. Hey, what are you doing today? Yeah, you know, I got some weeds out here. We're doing that. Yeah, well, I'm mowing a bit today and all that. And, you know, yeah. So that's his associates. While you're in the house, is a different thing. When he's at court, it's a different group of people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same person. He just does all these things. That's the point. We make too much distinction. We have to be careful not to make too much distinction between them. It's all one person. It's just he's taking all these different features.
Yeah. So then when you say that Balaram is the Lord of the Jnana Shakti, so...
No, the Kriya.
Jnana and Kriya both. Like emphasizing this particular point right now.
Means he's who has the Lord of the Jnana expands from him, so you don't necessarily need to see the Lord of the Jnana Shakti in Vrindavan Leela. Mm-hmm. But you'll see in the other Leelas when the Vaikuntha, then you always see.
Mm-hmm.
But here you don't, but still he's the prominent one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like you hear Ram and Lakshman, you know, Bart and Shatrughna are playing supporting roles, or Krishna and Balaram and Dwarka, and then Prajumna and Anirudha there.
Mm-hmm.
Point is, he contains, that's why it goes. So he takes care of that, but the point is that aspect is there. That's why the Panchatattva is mentioned in that category, because Advaitacharya is a different aspect. So he's taking care of that.
No? Thank you very much.
Within the Sambandha Jnana, this is like four aspects. And then the qualities one need to have to execute something is different from having the knowledge of the qualities itself.
Yes. It means it can be. But it's generally speaking, there's going to be some connection. Otherwise, why would you be able to see and understand something and how it practically applies unless you had some connection with it? Right? Otherwise, you won't notice. Like, let us say, you know, some of the land around here, a field, we put you out in that field. Then what are you going to see? Right? You know, bugs and mud, and you look for the path, how you get out of that onto the, you know, proper, you know, road, right? That's what you'll see. Now, the farmer, then he sees all kinds of things. What's the condition of the mud, what kind of mud it is, what's growing there, you know, what work it's going to take to do, depending on what's growing and what the earth is like. Then, okay, this is going to take 5 years to get this up to, you know, standard, or 3 years or 2 years, or it's just a matter, it's already there and just we have to plow it, or... You know, and that, you know, okay, what's the weather, what I can do, what I can plant here, all that will be seen. Well, we won't see that. We'll just see is that, ooh, yeah, mud, and, you know, and bugs, and, you know, like that, and just get out of there. The grass is itchy, and, you know, how was your day? Oh, it was terrible. What happened? I ended up out in the middle of a field, you know, like that. You know, it was the end of the world. Oh, you poor city boy. traumatized by the, you know, overwhelming, you know, how you say, obstacles of village life, you know, that, yeah. So, does that make sense? So that's the things you're going to see according to your nature. Now, in this, you'll see is that Brahmins and Kshatriyas, they see the same thing. Right? But the Kshatriyas will apply the application of it, and the Brahmins will just teach it and advise on it. So there you'll see that there has to be a common point. That's why it mentions that for, let's say, the Kshatriyas, they have their two groups, their ministries, right? And so you have your... We always hear about the administrative ministers. We never hear about the Shastric ministers like that. We only hear about the king sitting in the court and dealing with, you know, applying it, because that's the most important. But when there's something that they don't understand, he has this other group. Right? And then they advise what the Shastra says, what should be done. Then that's discussed with the administrative group, and then they apply it. But the rule says that those in that Kshatriya, because in the other one they have to practically be able to, you know, administrate, right? Have the knowledge and administrate. The other ones have the knowledge of what it takes to administrate. Then only they can give. Because otherwise the same Shastra, the Pujari, could also make comments, but he won't know how to apply it into management. So he's not the one that you ask. Right? Puja, yes, but administration, no. Does that make sense? So, in other words, it has to be a matching. Does that make sense? Yeah.
That's the reason we don't have a separate category for this. We don't have a separate category for the knowledge which... the qualities that are required for having him among the six. We have someone the four, and then Abhideya one, and Prayojana one, total six.
Yeah, yes.
That's why there is no separate category for... no separate category for the qualifications or the qualities.
Because the qualifications will be part of the knowledge. Means is that when you're dealing with the Sankarshan aspect, you have this, that's where your qualification, what's your adhikar? So this may be the plan, but what's your adhikar? So the Brahman, his adhikar is not to do those things, but to know them and teach them. Yes. And the Kshatriya's adhikar is that he will learn them and then he will apply them. Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the thing. The Vaishya, he may have that knowledge, or the Shudra may have that knowledge, but that's not their adhikar. Like the businessman who's big enough to understand, you know, how you say, national platform of economics and, you know, how the administration works, but his point is just making money, but to do it in such a way that it works with the country, not to disadvantage the country. The smaller guys don't understand that. They just see an opportunity, they make money. You know what I'm saying? But that has to be controlled in that making the money is fine as long as it's not going to affect others. If making your money is going to break down, you know, the culture or disturb others, you know, so in other words, you're making the money and nobody else is, right? Mm-hmm. So that exclusive aspect is always a problem. It's like exclusive monism is a problem. So in the same way, this is exclusive, you know, how you say, economic development is also a problem. You have to see it in context of what's there. So that's why then administration controls it. But you get big enough, they can see that. And so then they can manage, but then they manage on what level? So Vaishyas, yes, can be kings, but on what level? The village. So Nanda Maharaj is the king amongst the Vaishyas. Mm-hmm. But he's not a Kshatriya king, so he doesn't administrate a country. Does that make sense? Because otherwise, just because you're good at business and can understand that doesn't mean that you should be doing it on that level. Right? Does that make sense?
In one sense, they can do in their own group, they can administer.
Yes, they can do on their own, because all the four aspects of knowledge, administration, economics, and the particular skills is required at all levels. It's just which is the most prominent. So because the knowledge is the most prominent, that's why it's called, that position is called the Brahmin. The administration is the prominent with the knowledge. That's why it's Kshatriya. You know, knowledge and administration are there, but it's about economics. That's a prominent, so you call that there. And then the knowledge is what is there, but the other three are not the main. So the Shudra is engaged by the other three in that area, but there has to be a match. You know, it's just like you have, what do you call it? I think I saw something on, I'm not sure what they call him, but he was like a butler. But he was a butler for, I forget how many years, a long time, 30 years or, you know, 40 years or something, in the White House. So it's like he's seen every administration for all that time, and he keeps everything together and makes. So there's a Shudra who knows how to function within the administrative environment, you know, and do whatever it is that he's doing in specific. So that's the thing, is that you have all these people that are doing, but they don't know what they're supposed to be doing. They just are the Shudra that matches that. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. But the person who knows where it's going, what you can accomplish with it, they're the one that leads that. So you have to have match in these things.
Is it the imperfection of English when we call this Brahmavada, Shunyavada, Nirvishesha as impersonalism, all of them?
Because they're all, you can say in one sense, impersonal, in that they don't accept. So impersonal means not accepting the personal. Does that make sense?
Yes, but rather differently they don't.
That's there. You know, it's just like, you know, how you say. You take anything, you can do it in so many ways. Right? You want to write, you know, like that. You could do it with your right hand, you could do it with your left hand. You can hold it, you know, as you normally, like sitting it on the middle finger and holding the pencil between the thumb and the index finger, like that. So that's how most people will do. But those people who do that all day, they don't hold it like that. They put it down here. They put it on the ring finger, not the middle finger. And so they hold it between the index finger and the middle finger. And that's how then they control it, because that you can do all day. Your hand is relaxed, but what you do it the other way, your hand is actually tensed. You know what I'm saying? So there's so many ways you can just do a simple thing like, right, you don't get it? you put it here. It goes in here.
And we
like
that.
It's like that.
Some of my friends used to write, but it's
yeah, because you see, if you do it, your hand is totally relaxed, and you can get it very exact and everything. It's just weird. But the point is it works. But all those who do this, you know, all the, you know, what do you call it, architects and everybody who just all day with a pencil, that's what they do. You know, well, this one is good, but it cramps here. So you can go for a while. You know how every now and again you have to go like this with your hand. They don't. They just put it here, and then they can write all day. Because your hand is completely... That's what your hand would be like anyway. You just put a pencil in there. So, you know, so I'm saying, so you have all these different ways, and you can do that in the left hand, amazingly. You know, so that's there's so many ways to do it, but it's still a general category. You know what I'm saying? And then you'll have, within those, you'll have, you know, that may be within categories. It's just like you have karma and gyan. Everything in the way of avidya fits into those two categories. So you have vidya and avidya. Mm. So vidya means actually knowledge about Krishna and relationship with Krishna. Avidya means not knowing that. Mm. But then avidya, you get karma and gyan. Mm. Right? And then within karma, you'll have so many breakdowns. Gyan, you have so many breakdowns. Like that. So that's just how it goes. So the Vedic, the whole purpose of the Vedic, especially the Vaishnav, is to be able to see that link all the way back. So his point is, if you understand this is avidya, then you won't put so much weight on karma and jnana. Mm-hmm. Right? Because we see, just take for example, is it a respected position that someone has a particular branch of material knowledge and skill that's in the contemporary concept is considered, you know, the up-to-date thing to have, and that's the socially best position. Yes. Do devotees not get influenced by that?
Yes.
Yeah. But the point is if it's not connected to Krishna, how many times is the Bhagavatam and how many people say that's a waste of time or useless?
Yes.
Right? It's constant. Yes. Right? So if you understand that it only becomes vidya, it's not that because it's knowledge, it's vidya. Mm-hmm. It can be knowledge within avidya. Mm-hmm. Like ignorance, I can have knowledge about ignorance. Mm-hmm. Right? So only when I see it in relationship to the Lord, then I actually know. So seeing knowledge and ignorance side by side is I understand they're coming from Krishna. So seeing things related to Krishna, that's knowledge. And seeing things not related to Krishna are the material consciousness. In other words, the spiritual consciousness and the material, if you understand them, you can tell the difference, right? Because then you understand the visesha, the uniqueness, the distinctness. So one gets you into the spiritual world in a loving relation with the Lord, and one keeps you in the material world where you're frustrated and things don't work out. Right? So like that. And then do we have not the aspect if I have the knowledge about that, that's great, and I have the skill, then that's there. So we're taking it that this is perfection. Mm-hmm. I have whatever is the contemporary accepted knowledge and skill. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I'm the best. Mm-hmm. You didn't see it as so much before that someone from a professional educated background took a prominent role. Because you wouldn't know, you know. Like someone like Brahmananda, he's known, you know, he's the original temple president, you know, he's the big guy, he's there, he gets things done. But he was one of the few actually educated people out of all those early devotees. You know, he and Sasarup stand out the most. You know, they both had jobs.
Yes.
You know, like that. You know, stuff like that. You know, Bhavananda also, he was, you know.
Yeah. I agree, that was a professor.
Huh? Sorry?
He was a professor.
You know, that stands out a little bit. He was a professor because then he would do all these kind of aspects. But so many others that you didn't see that. You know, it might be engaged, but it wasn't a prominent thing. You know what I'm saying? So the point is, but now it's like you're a professional. Automatic. Of course, you should be in the meeting. You should be saying, you should be making the decisions. Even though they, you know, the, how you say, the wet paper bag, axiom, you know, thing, like that. So that's the difficulty, is that we fall within that, under that ignorance. So that's why we have to know what is knowledge and what's ignorance, because we're taking it, if it's something that you acquire by applying the intelligence, that's knowledge. No, it's when you're applying pure consciousness, you know, in the parampara, that's knowledge. So all these great personalities we're studying in Vedanta Sutra, they're all in ignorance. Mm. They're all functioning under avidya and trying to say the particular knowledge they have, that's actually vidya, when it's actually avidya. So that's what Vedanta Sutra is doing, is defining what's vidya and what's avidya.
So that's where Shopanishad is referring to these people.
Yes.
They seem to have a knowledge, but actually...
they don't. And you should know the difference.
Yeah.
So that's what Bhagavatam, first verse, to be able to tell the difference between what's matter and what's spirit. So matter means ignorance. So we don't mean the mode of nature ignorance. We mean the principle of avidya, of ignorance.
Because
that comes before your condition. In other words, that's the point that the word anadi is used, because you come under the control of avidya before you're controlled by the modes. So even though the impersonalist may get liberation from the modes, they don't get liberated from ignorance. That's why they come back.
Yeah,
that's the whole thing. So anybody who's in ignorance is within the Mahatattva. And anybody who's in knowledge, they're in the spiritual world. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And then people from the spiritual world come here to preach.
This is the beauty of Sanskrit, because there is avidya and tamas, so it's like...
yeah, you have the difference. Because so even that... it means that you even take the ignorance and put it under the mode. So you have Taijasa, Tamasa, and I can't remember what's that, maybe Vaikartika or something like that. There's three aspects. So one is, you know, how you say, avidya and goodness, one is avidya and passion, one is avidya and ignorance. Right? Like that. So that's how the ego works and all those things. Because it's false ego, because it's not the real ego. So it's ignorance. So that's the thing, is that's in the background. We just take what's in the foreground. But we don't understand. No, it's the background is what's important. That's why in the Veda you start with the background. Because why are we discussing such a fine point? If you understand this, then do you get illusion by material knowledge or skills? No, because you understand the difference between what's knowledge and what's ignorance. But if you don't understand the difference, you can get bewildered.
Can we summarize to understand that we need to have some adhikar?
Yes. And where does that adhikar come from? Right? Because spiritual adhikar can't come from the material. So that's why the association of the devotees is always the most essential point on all levels of devotional service. The key, what you move from, you know, become, get to Shraddha, then Shraddha up to Prema, and then maintain that position, is because of association. So it's the most essential point. That's why offending devotees is the worst of all the things, because that's actually the... you know, we can say, no, but they're wrong, and but that's justice. That's not about about devotion. Right? And then that justice is on what platform? What is wrong? The activity of the conditioned nature, the conditioned, the impure consciousness, and that, is that any of that the soul? No. So then, how is that dealing going to actually correct the soul? It won't. But because we say it will, because we're attached to it, therefore, you know, we go ahead with it.
Mm-hmm.
And we think that we have the right to criticize. Right? Yeah. But that's the whole point, is that it's not about that. We're yes, maybe the knowledge, the skill, the application, or some aspect, there's something wrong there. Mm-hmm. But what's the whole intent? What's the purpose? Because they're doing something for material, and we're simply responding with their material, judicial, how you say, concept. Mm-hmm. It's just the other side of the same coin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because they go on fighting, and it's just like you have the liberals and conservatives in the government, and they go on fighting, you know, wherever room they fight in and whatever building they're fighting in, and the whole rest of the country goes on perfectly normal, you know, not thinking of them for one nanosecond. You know, your life can go on very nicely, not knowing what goes on in that room. You know, because it just they go together. But you'll have your you know, arch nemesis, you know, in whatever it is, you know, who gets there first and gets the parking space first, or, you know, all those different things, or, you know, who drank all the water and left, you know, like, let's say about, you know, 3 milliliters of water in the bottle, because the rule is whoever finishes the water has to fill it up, but they left 3 millimeters, so they didn't finish it. So then when you come, then you see it's there, so then if you want water, you have to fill it. You know what I'm saying? So we're always going to have this, because that's the whole point of the ignorance, is that it's going to be all, it's going to be based on, you know, these principles that we mentioned that are coming from the Lord. You know, what's the existence, what's the difference, you know, what's the purpose, what's the process that's there. And so we're finding those that it matches, and those are friends and like that, and those who it doesn't match, then they're enemies. But the point is because it's all based on ignorance. But when it's based on Krishna, then the point is its existence, how does it relate to Krishna? You know, and so therefore then what is the uniqueness that is engaged in Krishna's service as? So then what's the process, and what's the purpose that is there of it? So therefore then how do I apply that process to get that result? Then you see that because it's for Krishna. But we'll use the same thing, how to get that benefit for us or our extended us. So that's avidya. So that potency, as it mentions here, there's a continual manifestation of avidya and avidya. So that's coming from Brahman. Because knowledge and ignorance, that's a generic quality. So that's why it's impersonal. But the personal is the expansion of Krishna, his quality. So when you have the qualities, just looking at the qualities themselves, that's the impersonal. When you look at the qualities with the person, that's the personal. You understand? So the situations and all that, when you see them just from the platform of what material benefit you'll get, that's material. When you see it in connection with the philosophy, you know, with Brahman realization, then that's spiritual. But when you see it in relationship with the person, then that's devotional.
Devotees, they have to deal with both vidya as well as avidya.
Vidya and avidya, yes.
Yeah. Then it requires that one needs to be an expert in vidya. Then only he'll be able to deal properly in avidya.
Yes.
Otherwise, and if we compare the two, according to my understanding, it seems that being an expert in avidya takes less amount of time than being an expert in vidya.
Means the knowledge of it takes more, but the point is that the realization that's simultaneous. Because the point is if you know what to do, then you also know what not to do. They go together.
Yeah.
You know, you have yama and niyama.
Yeah.
You know, they go together. What to do, what not to do. What is Krishna conscious, what's not. So you're studying them both, but you're studying both angles. That's why you see sometimes the purports, then they'll give so many different angles, because they're giving these different aspects, or the different acharyas, then they'll bring out different things. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a matter of which angle they're bringing out more, the vidya or the avidya. And then you have breakdowns of a variety of avidya, the breakdowns of the variety of vidya, and be able to tell the difference, because they both have the same categories.
Mm-hmm.
Right? In other words, there's action in Krishna conscious, there's action in Maya, there's knowledge in Krishna conscious, and knowledge in Maya. Yeah? Okay. On account of the... Okay. Although apparently Brahman seems to be devoid of energy, factually it has different energies working under the headings of knowledge and ignorance. On account of these, so that means by meditating on the Brahman or absorption in Brahman, you can liberate yourself because you're dealing with knowledge. Mm-hmm. Or the manifestations of the expansion of the material world, you meditate on that, then you're absorbed in ignorance. You stay here.
Mm-hmm.
Right? On account of these different energies, there is constantly a manifestation of vidya and avidya. Vidya and avidya are very nicely described in Ishupanishad. It is said there that sometimes due to avidya, or a poor fund of knowledge, one accepts the absolute truth as ultimately impersonal. But in fact, the impersonal and personal realizations develop in proportion to the development of devotional service. So you see, there's that understanding of it. They go both go together.
Yes.
Because seeing that it's all, there is Krishna is non-dual. So even you have Brahman, Paramatma, and Brahman, he's still non-dual. It's still just him.
Yes.
It's just different features of him.
Yes.
Does that make sense? So that's what you're dealing with here. So as you develop in devotional service, then these two realizations are there. You understand more about the personal, you understand more about the impersonal.
Yes.
That's why then the devotees who are situated in that relationship, loving relationship with the Lord, they're all liberated. So they understand the Brahman platform, but it's subservient to the Bhagavan platform. But it's not that it's not there. It's just like in your house. Okay? Now, in the house, now what's, in generally speaking, what's your prominent feature in the house? The floor or what's above the floor?
Depends who. For many, sofa.
But sofa's above the floor.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But the point is everything's resting on the floor, so you acknowledge the floor is there, but it's not that's where your focus is on the floor.
Yes. Yes.
Your focus is on, yes. You know, yes. Like that, the sofa, you know, and that, where the remote is, you know, how close the table is to the sofa, if you can put your feet up, you know, any pillows there, yeah, where the kitchen is, so... Is it close enough to just get up at the commercials and go there, or do you have to bring the six-pack out and stick it down there on the side table next to the sofa, like that? You know, so all these things is... But the floor, everything's on the floor. But it's not where the interaction... The rasa's not tasted with the floor. It's what goes on the floor. So in the same way as the Brahman aspect, everything's based on Brahman. Mm. But it's not about Brahman for the Vaishnavas. It's the interaction with the devotees.
Mm.
Right? Now, if you're floating around in space, then, you know, to get down on terra firma, then you're very happy, right? That's one of the main things that astronauts, they're freaking out about. When they can just, you know, there's gravity, I can be on the ground, you know, like that, you know. Does that make sense? You know, so... You know, it's just like they're watching, they're conversing, right? You know, and with the person on the ground, and the guy's there talking, and he drops something, and he's upset that he dropped it. The astronaut is in ecstasy. Wow, gravity! Yeah, so therefore, when you have a floor, then you think this is fabulous. So they're just wanting to be situated in Brahman, but they don't understand it just because you have a floor. You know, so you come in, you throw yourself on the floor and, you know, like that, and roll around a bit and do a few, you know, how you say, angels on the floor even though there's no snow. You know, like that, kind of, you know, just like that. But after a while, you're going to get up and do something with what's above the floor. So that's the point. If you understand the spiritual, then you'll go there. If not, you'll go back to the material.
Mm-hmm. It's a very good example, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's not the space. Like.
That's not the floor. So now, of all these, you could say the floor is the senior.
Yeah.
You know, because everything's on the floor. Therefore, Advaitacharya is the senior. Mm-hmm. Then Nityananda, then Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is the youngest. Right? Because then on that, there'll be activities.
Yes.
And so then that takes that kind of thing to be able to arrange. So the existence, that's very important. The mechanics that is there. Then you have the actual operation and making everything work.
Yes.
But then who's enjoying? Right? The youngest one. You know, in the existence of the house that the father's arranged, and there's activities of the house, and then the child is enjoying. Or the wife is enjoying, or like friends are enjoying, like this, you understand? So that's the whole thing. That's why we want this idea, it should all go one way. And that's why it's always annoying. One's going one way, but then the other is like, you know, it's all about the Icha Shakti. So Jnana and Kriya are subservient to that. So in other words, Icha is the main, Kriya is serving that, and Jnana is serving Kriya.
Yeah. Mm.
Yes. Right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, as in rasa, in relationship, then jnana is the senior, then the kriya, then the icha.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You understand? So there's always balanced. So that's why it seems, that's why if we appreciate our philosophy, all these things become so easy. It's less easy with other philosophies.
Yeah.
Correct, but they just don't focus on those aspects. So these things that the two are going on at once, we have no problem dealing with it. Others generally avoid that, and they deal with a certain aspect of that and focus on that. Does that make sense?
Maharaj, so in devotees, they tend to emphasize more on the Brahman and the Paramatma aspect, feature of the Lord. And
more on the Brahman and Paramatma.
Yeah, and not the Bhagavan. So is it that they are kind of somewhat impersonal in their...
No, it just means it's jnana misra bhaktas. Because the point is, jnana means you're dealing with that, but impersonal means you don't accept the personal feature of the Lord. They accept the personal feature of the Lord.
Okay, so theoretical understanding is there, but not the realization of it.
But, but realization means that's the level you're functioning on. So just they happen to talk about it, while others don't. Because they happen to be jnana misra bhaktas. That's all. But it doesn't mean that it's realization of Bhagavan means you have knowledge of it. Realization means you understand the person. You're interacting with the person.
Mm-hmm.
So you can say the proper realization of Bhagavan is prema. So when you're on the platform of prema, then you can say, now you're properly realized.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, and it gets you know, serious at Sarup Siddhi. Because now you have a spiritual form that, because of exclusive attachment to Krishna, you can apply in Krishna's service. Because until you have that exclusive focus on Krishna alone, it's not called Sarup Siddhi. It may be Sarup, so that's why we say the Sahajas, because they call it, means whenever you hear about Sarup, you don't hear about Sarup, you hear about Sarup Siddhi, right?
Yes.
Everyone talks about Sarup Siddhi. Sarup Siddhi means after, you know, the focus is exclusively on Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean I'm now and just start rolling on the ground and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So when they say, oh, but you have to know your Ekadas Bhav and all that, that's Sarup. That's not Sarup Siddhi.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't use that until you get to there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, okay, even if I give you a car at 3 years old, you can't drive it until you're the age and then you get a license, then you can drive it. So it doesn't matter. So that's the thing is, you know, that at 3 you're climbing up into the seat and standing there in the seat and holding the wheel and moving the wheel and going vroom vroom and imagining all kinds of stuff, you know, you just won whatever it is, Le Mans or something, you know, like that. Does that make sense? Yeah, you know, all in, you know, 30 seconds, you did 24 hours, you know, like that. So, and how you say? Yeah. So, all that's going on, so that's why we call them sahajas. And that's why we're not interested in that. It's not a process. When someone says, I'll teach you the sadhana of rasa, that right there is a red flag. They're totally bogus.
Because they say that we have pranalis with the help of which we'll be able to execute that.
No, it's not. Point is they think it's some external form that makes rasa. That's why it's said. If that's what's being said, you know it's wrong. Whenever someone says there's a sadhana for rasa, it's bogus. There isn't anything. The shastras only describe the situation of rasa. They never describe a sadhana.
Mm.
Never.
Mm.
There is no sadhana. Rupa Goswami describes a sadhana?
No.
There's some, he just describes what are the elements of rasa, how they combine together, what particular, you know, what sanchari is in this and that. But the taste of that, it's not describing. You can't describe that.
That's why in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, when he's explaining, it appears there's one episode and shifting like that, rather than if the sadhana process, then it should go in a system.
Yeah. Like that. It means they'll go through, yeah, they'll go through the thing, but the point is it's, they can only describe. That's why it says, after this point I can describe, like, but after that I can't describe.
Mm.
The acharyas always say that. Everywhere says that.
Maharaj in the Sajiyas, when they act like that, so it means that even they say that that's their Swarupa, but actually it is not. It's simply bogus. They're cheating themselves also in this, because
whether it is or not, what does it matter? You know, just like the father is okay. You know, he has his, you know, tuxedo, and you know, when you grow up, you can use that. So you can put it on now, but you know, does that make sense? You know, it's just the arms are going to drag on the ground, and you know, nothing's going to work, nothing's going to fit. You can try it, but you know, does it look good? Does the tuxedo look good on a 5-year-old? Means if it's a tuxedo for an adult,
looks funny.
It looks funny. They may think it's cool, right? You know, they may be strutting around, you know, singing "I did it my way" or something, you know. But it doesn't matter. So that's the whole point. The only difference is that kid's cute. Sahajis are not cute to those from the spiritual world. They have zero, you know, entrance into the pastime, right? If you have a party for close friends, you know, very, you know, good friends, and then somebody who crashes the party and says that they're part of it, does anybody appreciate that on any level? Nothing. So that's sahajiyas. No, it's not going to get anywhere. So you can't use it. What's the point? Why discuss that now? Discuss what, you know, a 3-year-old's supposed to be doing. That's what you do. You know, you're supposed to learn your ABCs. Learn that, you know. It's like that. You know, how you say, they're not stewy, okay? That's the main point. Yeah? Yeah? But in fact, the impersonal and personal realizations develop in proportion to the development of devotional service. So they'll come together, because it's one person. Mm-hmm. The more we develop our devotional service, the more closely we approach the absolute truth. So now the gopis have the highest realization of Krishna, right? And it's personal. That means they have the highest realization of the impersonal aspect. That's how they can see him as a person is pervading everything. At the same time, as there's a difference, because the original form not being there, then they feel separation, but they're always in contact with Krishna. Mm. Okay, yeah. The more closely we approach the absolute truth, which in the beginning, when we realize the absolute truth from a distant place, is manifest as impersonal. It's manifest as impersonal, but it still is the person. Like, you know, just like when we worship Radha Krishna in the temple, they're manifesting to us. It's Radha and Krishna, but they're manifesting to us, or interacting, let's say, interacting with us as Lakshmi Narayan. We can say, no, but I have so much affection, but why are you there? Right? Because of the rule. Right? Because otherwise, if you were there just because of the affection, you'd be there all day. You'd just be happy to sit there all day. So why is it you show up at this time, you have this spot, and you do this, and at this point you leave, and you know, this is the time to go out for the Mahaprasad, because if you wait another 30 seconds, everyone else will be out there. You know, so like that. You know, you have to get everything down. So the point is we're dealing in Vaidhi, and so they're reciprocating in Vaidhi. But the point is it's Krishna. It's Krishna who's reciprocating, but we're dealing with him like that. That's how he reciprocates.
Some say.
Okay.
That,
the Shamshaya.
That, this is absolutely fine, you know, when we say that.
It's absolutely fine. So you're saying some may say, and it's absolutely fine. So you're throwing in your opinion here that you support this, no. Some may say.
I'm saying my opinion about you, that what you're saying is correct, that as a pujari, they deal with Krishna as Lakshmi Narayan. That is what the Shastras say. But here, you know, there's another point that the devotees say that, oh, Krishna reciprocates with us in, you know, they have that conjugal, you know, for that, and then that's how Krishna reciprocates with them. So then I'm trying to fit in, like, how, like, you know, if they're Lakshmi Narayan and Narayan, then if doesn't has Madhurya, then how does...
You're mixing too many things.
I also don't get it. I don't understand.
See, Narayan,
I don't think you want to understand. The pujaris are interacting with the deities according to the rules and regulations, so they're reciprocating of Nara Narayan, but they have, in their mind, they have a conjugal relationship with Krishna, so how does Krishna, and he's reciprocating, but how does he do that if he's Lakshmi Narayan? Because Lakshmi Narayan, then there's only Lakshmi, there's, you know, how would they fit in here? The same time as, you know, like that, but then which Lakshmi and Narayan are they talking about? Because it's only Ram that only has one wife, but otherwise the others, there's so many Shaktis, so that means, so are you Shri, are you Bhu, are you Neela, are you Gyana, are you Kriya, are you, you know, which one are you of that? So then that's going to be a problem there. And if you say Braja Krishna, then why would you think that he's going to interact with this form as in a conjugal way? So that doesn't make sense, because, you know, so that's like the, what do you call it, those... What are those guys called? You know, the Sahaji group, the Saki babies. Like that. You see, in some days they have those little, the nose, the ones that, the underneath, you know, the, and the, not on the top of the nose, but underneath, hanging on there, the little, they use like a teardrop pearl. Like that, they have those, and they wear their sari, and everything, and they have a beard, right? You know, they're sadhus, they're sadhikas, so. You know, they shave once a month, you know, so he got this nice gopi with this nice beard, you know, yeah.
It's becoming popular. Mm-hmm. Becoming popular on the other side of the world.
It is. Just they don't use cover their head with a sari. You know,
next step.
Next step.
They know how to sing.
Oh, the hijras, they do.
And they know how to sing. Sing sajis.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Invasion.
So then the whole point is there's nothing right about this whole discussion. So that's what I was saying is that one, a little knowledge is dangerous when you're dealing here. That's the problem, is that we're following the footsteps. So what does Prabhupada do? What do the acharyas do? That's what we do. And so we're just their assistants in trying to do things. This whole thing that I'm there and this rasa and Krishna's reciprocating and all that kind of stuff is like, you know, better find new pujaris. You know.
This usually happens only in Mayapur.
It only happens in Mayapur. Really. The original where we heard of a group of devotees doing like this, and it got called by, I think, the... Is that sure Prabhupada called it, or the managers called it the Gopi Baba Club? Was in Los Angeles. Then the next manifestation of it was, can't remember where, but there's other places, but somehow or another all those happen to be not Mayapur. So your statement that it only happens in Mayapur,
you've come across it,
but then why say only in Mayapur?
I don't know.
You know, like that, you know, have you ever checked Russia?
like in the beginning, devotional service, it said like when we see the hand of Krishna in our life, that is like, you know, you appreciate Krishna's presence in our life.
Yeah, but he's interacting according to realization. So that we see the mechanics are working out. Oh, the situation is improving. That's the Brahman.
That's what you think that in the beginning. That
yeah, so that's the whole thing. As we say, but Krishna did this or that was there. And I wondered about that, and the Kancha was here. That's all Brahman level. So what are they talking Kancha about? So it's not, you know. Because the point is those who are dealing on that, they don't talk about that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The married women in a general assembly are, you know, they don't talk about conjugal aspects. The teenagers do. Like that. So those that don't have, they talk.
Right? Actually, that is the beginning.
Yeah, that's the, you know, the point of the empty pot. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the point is here is that understand that and apply it. You know, there's no need to get into this, because then we're discussing pujaris, what's the actual application. But here we're simply trying to distinguish between vidya and avidya, and what is our level of realization within that. So here is that beginning state will have the impersonal, because we're looking at situation. So the situation got better, therefore Krishna is reciprocating. Like that. And which is what he does. He does that. But you see, then it develops, and where we're absorbed in Krishna, and then like that. And so it doesn't require that. Because we don't see that the gopis are talking about how, you know, the chapati, when they rolled it, it was round, it didn't look like Australia or something, you know, stuff like that. And so Krishna, it's all, they're not talking about it. They're just seeing, they see everything in connection to Krishna. So there's no need to go into that detail. That's the point. You know, otherwise we get off on that as a point and we miss this point. Because the discussion was, Sahajiyas are taking the external and not the actual point. And then when we get down into manifestations of that, it gets a distraction. Yeah. People in general who are under the influence of avidya shakti or maya have neither knowledge nor devotion. But when a person who is a little advanced and is therefore called a jnani experiences even more, he is in the category of jnana mistra bhakti, or a devotee whose love is mixed with empiric knowledge. When he is still further advanced, he can realize that the absolute truth is a person with multi-energies. Right? An advanced devotee can understand the Lord and his creative energy. Right? So that he has energies and then his creative energy. So that goes above that. That he has energies, he's controlling these energies. Then there's the creative energy. As soon as one accepts the creative energy of the absolute truth, the six opulences of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are also understood. Right? You see, this is what we're going up through. It's all Krishna, but it doesn't mean that there's not a step through that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Those who are still further advanced in full knowledge can understand the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. Only on that platform can one fully enjoy transcendental bliss. So that's where you fully enjoy. But anything connected to Krishna is going to give happiness. That's why we're attracted. Like that. An example is given in this connection by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur of a person proceeding towards a destination. As he approaches, he sees the destination from a distance, just as we see a city from a distance. At that time, he simply understands that the city is situated at a distance. Right, he's seeing the city, but it's just at a distance. There's no like that. When, however, he comes still nearer, he sees the domes and flags. But as soon as he enters the city, he sees various paths, gardens, lakes, and marketplaces with shops and persons buying. He sees varieties of cinema houses, and he sees dancing and jubilation. When a person actually enters the city and personally sees the activities of the city, he becomes satisfied. So it's just like that. It's just a matter of, it's all Krishna, but it's just a matter of what portion of it we're seeing ourselves in the realization. Because it's all non-different from Krishna. So when we talk about impersonalism as a problem, we're talking about exclusive monism. Because the impersonal is what you're dealing with. You're sitting on the floor. That's the impersonal aspect. Otherwise, how are you held up? How does the floor have the potency to hold you up? That's the impersonal. But you know why that's there and all that, that goes back to supporting the person.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Govardhana.